studio, Terry. I'm here in Southern California.
You are, Jess. What? Tell us about last night, too, brother.
It was great last night, Terry. The little church here was packed. It was screaming.
I was putting chairs up, brother, in the aisles. Yeah.
But, Terry, I think people wanted to come out here. They're sick and tired of being locked down at home. Oh, yeah. They wanted to hear the word of God.
Yeah.
And so it was an incredible turnout last night. I thank the Lord. It was a feast of St. Michael the Archangel, St. Raphael, St. Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
Just the community, Terry, that you're building here through VMPR, through the chapel.
Yep.
People need this type of encouragement, Terry, because people are looking for answers. And we are here giving answers every single day. And not only answers, hope. H-O-P-E.
His
name is Jesus.
Amen, brother. Well, Jesse, thank you. And I thank you for coming again to the chapel and firing us up. Folks, we got a great show ahead of us. This is going to be, we call it the need to know file. Wait till I tell you what we need to know file. It's crazy stuff that's going on. But one of the things that we're going to talk about, we have a good close traditional Catholic priest friend who wrote an article about several reasons why you should not take the jab. And he made some very, very good points, and I think you could use it for your own reference. Also, this is a very good article about Facebook, and they're putting a pause on developments for their app for very good reasons, because it's really hurting young children. And when we tell you the statistics about social media, especially with this, it's devastating. You wouldn't want your kids on it, that's for sure. And then we're going to follow up with nearly 15,000 deaths, more than 700,000 injuries reported since December with the rollout of this so-called vaccine. But before we get to all of that, I want to ask Jesse if he could give us some soul food.
Absolutely. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Saint Jerome, pray for us this feast day. The gospel according to Saint Luke. Jesus appointed 72 other disciples whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like little lambs amongst wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say peace to this household. If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him, but if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town, the gospel of the Lord."
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
One of my favorite passages in this, I think this applies to what we've been trying to do, Terry, for decades. The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. You and I have been trying to, again, inspire. And a lot of people say, hey, as a result of what I hear Terry say, his book, cassettes, St. Joseph's, what you said, Jess, I'm now involved in apostolic work. That's what we've been trying to do, Terry.
Absolutely.
Inspire men and women, but especially men, to get involved, roll up your sleeve, be holy or die, try and get involved in apostolic work, because like Jesus says, the harvest is abundant. That's whole planet Earth. The laborers are few. Something else that we're seeing right now, Terry, we are like lambs amongst wolves.
That's true. No, let's be honest.
We're living that right now, Terry.
Yep.
Another thing that jumps out at me is when you go into a house, wish the household peace. Peace to this household. When I walk into my house, I'll say, you know, mentally, sometimes verbally, may the peace of Christ be upon this house. St. John Chrysostom says, when the Father wishes the peace of Christ in a house, he says, it's like God just downloads grace into that house like Niagara Falls. So if for you men out listening out there, when you walk into your home, say, may the peace of Christ be upon my house. It has a powerful effect when a man says it. God acts and God dumps grace into the house. Just like St. John Chrysostom actually wrote, Another thing that's interesting is, again, for the delay, for the labor deserves his payment. Some people say, hey, you know, you work for the church, or, you know, you're in some type of apostolic work, you shouldn't get paid. No, hey, nobody's getting rich, but we need to pay our bills. We need to, put food on the table. And lastly, Terry, our Lord says that when you meet people that don't believe it or reject the message, he says, this is very strong language, the dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you. Mm-hmm. In other words, there comes a point in time where you can't be tugging on green fruit. Move on to other pastures where people are receptive to the message.
Well said, Jesse. We have a great feast day of St. Jerome also. And as you know, Jess, you are very close to him because of Scripture, what he's done for, you know, the translations of the Bible. Why don't you share a little bit about St. Jerome with us?
Yeah, St. Jerome, he was a Scripture scholar, and he was commissioned by Pope Damasus I to take the Hebrew and the Greek and write it into the language of the church, which was Latin. So he gave us the first translation of the Bible in one language called the Latin Vulgate in 405 AD. St. Jerome is also very famous for saying, I mean, he pushed Scripture on people. Ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. Very powerful words and so true. He also spent about 15 years with the rabbis. They say the tradition is that he studied in the caves with the rabbi studying Hebrew because he wanted to have a precise translation from the Hebrew to the Latin. So he studied with the rabbis in a cave. St. Jerome was educated in Latin. He was also educated in Greek classics. As an adult, he received baptism. He embarked on a life of solitary penance in the desert of Chalcis. And it was Pope Damasus I that commissioned him to put together the first translation of the Bible called the Vulgate. St. Jerome founded a monastic community also in the Holy Land, and that's where he composed commentaries on Scriptures, and we're still benefiting from his writings today, Terry.
And my favorite part about the saint here, St. Jerome, is when he said to people, like, oh, you did the translation, that's so important. He said, you know what's more important than my translation? Living the gospel, living the word of God.
Terry, that's a good point, because a lot of Catholics, we get stuck on the minutiae, especially when you get involved in apologetics. Yeah. What translation? This translation. No, I get it. I get it that there are some better translations than others. Yeah. But I think the most important thing, first of all, start immersing yourself in the word of God. I mean, I think the first Bible I started reading, Terry, when I met you like 30 years ago, and St. Joseph's had an influence on me to start reading God's word.
Yeah.
I started reading the Good News Bible.
I remember that one.
Yeah. I think it's got pictures on it, cartoons.
Not the best translation.
But you know what, Terry? I understood it.
Yeah.
It was, and it had little notes. It'll say, you know, like, you know, and Jesus is, little explanations.
Sure.
That's what I started with. Yeah. And of course, I moved on to read other translations and go into deeper studies. But the fact is, heck, even if you're sitting in prison, give me a Good News Bible.
I'll
read it. Just get it into your soul.
Yeah. No, well said, Jess. Hey, I want to bring the smartest guy into the room right now. Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. So, full Sheen ahead. Don't forget our website. No, excuse me. Our YouTube channel, Full Sheen Ahead. Subscribe to it. We're trying to get more subscribers to build that up so that people will actually get more of Fulton Sheen's quotes and more of his teachings. Put your seatbelt on, because I've used this before, but it's so good, Jesse, that I want to do it again. And it's just talking about what you were just talking about. It seems like we've been talking about the problems in our culture and our politics. Here's what Fulton Sheen says about conflicts. He said, the conflict of the future will be between a God religion and a state religion, between Christ and the Antichrist, but in a political disguise. If that doesn't describe
this, what, is right now.
Right, it is, yes. Yeah.
Terry, what's the state religion? It's called the cult of COVID-19.
Yeah, that's right.
They have their pope. His name's Pope Fauci.
Yeah.
He calls the shots.
Yep.
He got his acolytes.
Oh,
Joe Biden, the Democrats, are the acolytes. What's their sacrament? The vaccine. No, Terry, this is who's their choir?
That's their source and summit.
Who's their choir? The mainstream media.
Yeah.
No, Terry, this is a quasi-religion we're dealing with. It's a cult.
Yeah.
And a cult is dangerous because there's no negotiating with them.
You're making me uncomfortable because you know what, Jess? You're absolutely correct. This is really offensive to God, too. I'm going to say that. I think a lot of the stuff that's happening with COVID-19 is diabolical because lives are being lost and souls are being lost because we close our churches. The sacraments aren't available. If that's not diabolical, Jess, I don't know what is.
Yeah, because there's total deception behind this. That comes from Satan. He's the great deceiver. And people are lying through their teeth, Terry. Satan is the father of lies. He's all over this.
Yeah, it's all there. And when we come back from our break, our good friend, good priest friend, made several points about why we should not take the jab. And again, I'm not here to condemn you if you take it. That's your free will, okay? But I would encourage you to look at the facts before you do that. And I think the facts, what I always say is they outweigh, the benefits of the vaccine are way outweighed by the risk of the vaccine. And you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. I don't see the commercial coming on. It should be coming on right now. I think we're having a little time of a... Okay, we'll keep talking until my engineer tells me we don't.
Terry, for those that have gotten the jab, just pray to God that, you know, pray to God that he has mercy on you and ask him to heal you. Say, Lord, I did this out of, I was intimidated, I was bullied, I was afraid.
Under
Lord,
pressure.
Have mercy on me. Forgive me, Lord, and give me the grace for this thing not to affect my body in some way, negative way.
Amen. Don't forget to go to CatholicRC.org, get some of those downloads, educate yourself, be a high information Catholic, not a low information Catholic. We'll be right back here with the Terry and Jesse Show. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry and Jesse Show. I'm here in studio here at Terry and headquarters. This is HQ. I'm here in beautiful Covina, California. Terry, a couple of friends of ours, I'm going to be with them this week, and I'll give them your regards. This weekend, October 2nd, on Saturday, I'm going to be speaking it's called the Faith Freedom America Conference with Father Altman.
Awesome.
Michael Voris, Doug Berry, Raymond D'Souza from Human Life International. The conference is going to be at Houston, Minnesota on a beautiful ranch. And we're going to try to just, again, we're trying to do right now, give people hope, give people fortitude and courage. So if you want more information on that, you just go to faithfreedomamerica.com and you can get all the information. Terry, our good friend, Father Dave Nix, he's a high information Catholic. Every time I converse with him or read something that he writes, the guy's very meticulous. He gives several reasons why you should not take the jab. Okay? A lot of us live in a fast world, fast news cycles, and a lot of people seem to forget the basics as to why they should not take the jab. That's our position, Terry. I know that's our position here. I know we've paid for it.
Big time.
We've lost probably listeners in radio stations as a result.
Yeah, I can tell you that.
But Terry, what I see the mainstream news media doing, it's nothing but Soviet newspaper Pravda propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what they're doing right now.
Yep.
This is Pravda we're dealing with in the United States. But Father Dave Nix, he gives seven basic reasons, very simple, as to why you should not take the COVID-19 jab. So we'll just go back and forth, Terry. The first one he says is this. I mean, this is everything for me, this one right here, Terry. He says, it was made from cell lines from aborted babies. These were real babies, as real as your children, who never consented to be part of a Frankenstein experiment to die in order to be injected into a billion people. And the best that Catholic moral theology pundits can say in response to this is essentially, yeah, but that was a long time ago, so it doesn't really count. Yeah, he said, again, our moral theology, Terry, it has a lot to, they have departed a lot of these moral theologians. They're more political than they are moral theologians. I also heard somebody else, I won't mention his name, he's a high-profile Catholic. He said, if you think there's any problem with getting the vaccine, he called it a vaccine, he says, then why do you drive your car in the street? Because he said the roads in America were built by slave labor. So if you want to be consistent, and these, a lot of these slaves are dead, some of them were beat to death, well, then you shouldn't drive your car on the road, because then you're participating, remote participating in slave labor. Again, talk about apples and oranges, Terry. I think that's a bad analogy. I think that's a bad argument. But once again, going back to these babies, when somebody starts saying, well, this is so far away when these babies were aborted for this use, I would just say, well, Adam and Eve, they sinned a long time ago, but we still need to get back.
That's what I always say, Jesse. You took my line. That's funny. Hey, number two, the father talked about, it might kill you. Yeah, that's true. I mean, look at the statistics. I look at this whole thing as a risk-benefit. What's the risk of taking the vaccine, and what's the benefit? Well, we know a lot of people are still getting COVID even though they're taking the vaccine, and it's been ineffective. We'll get to that too. But he said, I can't tell you how many texts I get every day, Father said, from people that someone got sick or they died due to the unknown causes after having the second Pfizer. As most of you know, there's almost 12,000 people that have died from the vaccine. However, I suspect the rate is much higher. Of course it's much higher. They keep these records low. Of course, I believe COVID is a real virus. Of course I do. It knocked me on my tail, knocked Jesse down. You know, but when we consider how many flu deaths were submitted into COVID deaths in 2020, we have a strong reason to believe that the vaccine will kill many more people than the virus. And that, I believe, is so true. We call that collateral damage. Not only that, Jesse, Father didn't even point out how many people are committing suicide because they lost their job because of COVID-19. How many people are committing suicide because they're depressed and they can't finish their schooling right now? See, this is, again, look at the big picture. But what I see right now is, they're making this, in L.A. County, 10 million people, 23 people died yesterday from COVID, and most of them died with COVID. It's such a small percentage. I think we've gone way overboard in saying that you need this vaccine that's obviously hasn't been working very well. So that's my take on that.
Yeah, and it's actually called an mRNA injection experiment.
Yeah, he points that out in this, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Terry, again, like you said, more people as a result of the lockdowns and this cult of the COVID-19.
Right.
Suicide is up.
Big time.
People staying at home watching pornography, getting a free check from the government, that's up. Alcoholism is up. Drug usage is up. Terry, you and I, all we are fruit pickers. What do I mean by that? Jesus Christ says, you'll know a good tree by its fruits. Yeah. We're just picking the fruit here. We're fruit pickers here in Virgin Most Powerful. Yep. There's bad fruit that's come from this COVID-19.
Big time.
Number three, Father Nick says, it's pushed by government coercion. This is big in my moral conscience, okay? That right there, the fact that it's pushed so hard by the government, it tells you that it's not medicine. It's a political project. No medicine for health ever needs coercion or threats by the president. Can you imagine in a real pandemic, the bubonic plague, okay? The government needing to use threats and treats, like trick-or-treats, to get a dying population to take a truly healthy, life-giving medicine? Of course not. We would be the first in line if this was the bubonic plague and if this was true.
Jesse, just a quick note. I heard this morning some of the commentators saying, yeah, those people who are being stubborn about not getting the jab, when they find out they can't go to the grocery store, when they find out they can't go to any store to buy anything or go to a sporting event, all this is going to take place in... they'll get motivated to get in line. So you see, they're squeezing us a little at a time. As a matter of fact,
they're trying to corner us, Terry.
Yeah,
and they're trying to purge us.
Just for your need to know file, a bill proposed yesterday, Senator Dianne Feinstein saying that for domestic travel for the holidays coming up by November, they want to be able to make it a requirement that you have the COVID vaccine. Again, Jess, squeezing us a little at a time. Yeah. So that's coming. All right, number three, and it's a good one. I mean, number four, it's a good one. It's going to be the first of dozens of jabs you need. I mean, follow the money every time. Who's paying for this? Every time you get a shot, someone's making money on this thing.
Huge money.
Yeah, it's kind of like, have you ever thought about software, everybody? You got to have an upgrade. Why? I mean, the one's working fine, right? No, we got some new things now. But really, let's just be honest with it. It's a great way to have a revenue stream when you're constantly upgrading your software. Well, now they're saying, well, we got to upgrade the shots, okay? We've got to make sure your jabs are consistent. So what Father says, this is especially true if you agree to the first. Oh, yeah. A nurse at the Children's Hospital in Denver has admitted to a friend of mine that this will be at least a yearly event for children, not my children, to need a new COVID vaccine. More shocking is that the UK's Daily Mail reads, monthly vaccine doses will be offered to help more than 1 million Britons beat this illness. This means that there's going to be no end to the experimental drugs the government wants to inject into your arm even before the first one has been FDA approved. Point well taken, Father. I agree with that.
Number five, he says, it's not stopping COVID. As I mentioned before, he says, I'm getting many texts from people about how sick the Pfizer jab is making people. I have a friend who's an RN on the West Coast in a COVID unit, but one of her texts to me read today, quote, all I know for sure is that people are still very sick from COVID, even after two doses of vaccine, close quote. Furthermore, CNBC reported that the Center for Disease Control study shows 74% of people infected in Massachusetts COVID outbreak were fully vaccinated. An NBC reporter named Ken Delanian even tweeted, quote, new data suggests that fully vaccinated individuals are not just contracting COVID, but could be carrying higher levels of virus than previously understood, facilitating spread, close quote. That's according to his NBC News colleagues are reporting this. And he also writes, new indoor masking guidance expected today. Terry, the fact is, I mean, when you look at the actual truth, like some of these leftists just reported right here, the truth is that there's nothing medical about this, Terry. This is all about control, and it's all about the raw drunk power,
yeah,
and the abuse of it.
And just to make Father's point even better, last week I saw an ABC affiliate. They were looking for people who have been vaccinated who are doing fine and not getting any COVID,
19,
yeah, right. And what happens? They can't find any of them. We know what they find? The people who are saying just the opposite, that we did get COVID and we vaccinated, and we're upset about that because we were told that this was supposed to be our protection and it was nothing but.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
that's a fact. So, but it supports what Father's saying.
Yeah.
Okay, here's one that Jess was just referring to a little earlier. It is not a vaccine, but rather an mRNA, a spike protein inducer that promises to accumulate damage and chronic inflammation to the cells for years to come. Here's the other thing. It's a changing the way you are going to fight against infection, too. So Dr. Jacobs, he's a geneticist,
yeah,
explained this concern in detail in a letter to the British Medical Journal, as well as in the public comments and an article about the mRNA vaccine in January 21. It seems that the mRNA vaccines, can enter a much broader tissue range compared to even the virus vaccines. Hey, when we come back, we'll continue on this because this is important for your information. You need to have a good judgment call. And the way you have a good judgment call is with good information.
Yeah.
And that's what Father's giving us right now. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. Yes, we're too blessed to be stressed. Yes, we're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd be billionaires. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry and Jesse Show, hey, like to see you this week, and I'm going to be out in Houston, Minnesota at the Faith Freedom America Conference with Father Altman, Michael Voris, Doug Berry, and Raymond D'Souza.
Sounds great.
Trying to, again, just what we do here in Virgin Most Powerful. We're trying to give people inspiration and hope so that you can keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Terry, Father Dave Nix, great writer. He just is able to put a lot of things very succinctly.
Oh, yeah.
It's a short article. It's not long, but I'm telling you, it has everything that you need to know regarding this vaccine. The sixth point you were making, Terry.
Yep, finish it up.
Yeah. He says, and since the mRNA vaccines would induce SARS-CoV-2 viral spike protein expression, that seems to mean that the people who get the mRNA vaccines are going to have a much greater range of cells and tissues vulnerable to cytotoxic T cell attack with side effects that may not manifest for years with cumulative damage and chronic inflammation. Father's background, he was an EMT, so he's he got all that medical, he understands that medical stuff. Bottom line is that there's going to be short and long-term effects as a result of taking this mRNA spike protein inducer. Number six, the last one, he says, Fauci's, who's in charge of the NIH, has admitted to funding the Wuhan lab. So think about this, Father says. This means that this same pro-abortion Jesuit-trained Fauci guy is both working on the vaccine and the virus. So it's clear this is a single project to stave off overpopulation. Simple terms, they're trying to purge us, or they're trying to kill people of faith, patriots, and conservatives. That's what they're trying to do. They want to get rid of us. They don't want us here because they look at the aristocrats and the peasants. The elites, they're the aristocrats. Father says, once you realize the virus was made for the vaccine and not vice versa, then you should quickly understand, in light of the other things that I said, that the vaccine may not only accidentally kill some people, but it's actually designed to kill people. Thank you, Father. That's what I've been saying. I got a priest right next to me. Yep. He says, yes, I'm really that confident. This is a global project of technocratic communism. Absolutely right. And he says, and big tech to make a more sustainable planet for just those elites. Let me tell you, if this was preached in every Catholic pulpit, this would wake up 70 million Catholics immediately.
Remember I said risk benefit. You really want to risk yourself on this? I mean, I just for your good need to know file, I have the NBA players. They break the silence on why they refused the COVID shot. Washington Wizards player Bradley Beal and others have defended their decision regarding the COVID-19 shot. And what's happening is, you know, again, they're going to be charged, I think it's $14 million for not playing because they didn't get their shot. But they're asking this question, and I think it's a good one, he's saying. He must have read Father's article. He says, I'm pushing back on this. He said, I would like an explanation to know about people with the vaccine, why they still are getting COVID. Is there something that we are supposed to highly be protected from? Because so many people are still getting the COVID-19 virus, and they're getting the jab. So why would I get the jab when it's not working? So I thought that was a good point. And he also pointed out the Israeli researchers concluded in just this August of 2021, a study that natural immunity offers better protection against COVID than the jabs. And this young man says, I've already had COVID-19. I'm better prepared to fight the vaccine, fight the COVID-19 without the vaccine because I have antibodies. And of course, he's sticking to his gun. So I just think that I appreciate Bradley Beal and other NBA players, because you know what, Jess? They're paying it from their pocketbook. They're not getting paid to go out now.
Yeah, and Terry, I hope that more people, seriously, more Democrats, leftists, and progressives like Nick Minaj and others, I hope they wake up to this COVID mafia, this COVID cult, because they have a big footprint. You know, a lot of these leftists, like Nicki Minaj, for example, she has 22 million followers on her social media. So I'm liking that I'm hearing.
Yeah, we're waking up.
Yeah. And again, even people on the that I won't have ideological differences on everything else, but on this issue, they're waking up, which is a good thing. So let's go to this Facebook, Terry.
Hey, Jesse, before we go to Facebook, I want to give a need-to-know file again. And some people say, Jesse, Terry, you guys are always being critical of Pope Francis. You know, I pray for Pope Francis every day. But when he does things that are not part of the perennial teachings of the church, I'm going to say, hey, that's not consistent with what the church teaches. And I'll give you an example. Cardinal Gregory, who is the cardinal in Washington, D.C., said that he's grateful for the Pope's support of communion for pro-abortion politicians like Joe Biden. Well, I'm so sorry. Canon law says that he shouldn't be receiving Holy Communion. And so the cardinal is saying that this is really supporting his position and many other prelates who are giving Holy Communion to politicians like Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi. And I have to say, I'm not management, Jess, I'm in sales, but this isn't consistent with the Bible, with the perennial teachings of the church. And so I say, Holy Father, please confirm us in the faith. Don't bring doubt. And what that does right now, in my opinion, Jesse, that's very sinful actions, because what we're doing is the Bible says you're condemning yourself by receiving unworthily. That's not my opinion, Jess. That's what the Bible says.
Yes. Again, Terry, we have some bad shepherds right now.
That's it. And we have to pray for them.
And the Bible calls bad shepherds wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yep.
God knows who they are.
Yep.
And that's why we have to stick to what's revealed in sacred scripture and in sacred tradition.
You bet.
Not some new policy, some new decree, some new order that goes against the 2,000-year tradition of the Catholic Church. And so thanks for bringing that up, Terry.
That's just good to know, Father.
Yeah. Going to Facebook announced Monday that it's going to halt the development of a children's app after a national backlash from parents and conservative lawmakers.
Pushing back. Yep. God bless.
That's good. We got to do this. So this Nixed app, Instagram Kids, caused a firestorm of controversy, with critics expressing concern for the kids whom Facebook would reach through their new product. So there's more than 44 U.S. attorneys across the country confronted Facebook.
Good.
And asked the big tech giant to drop the project, citing a growing body of research, some of it conducted by Facebook itself, showing how social media is harming the mental health of young Americans.
Big time.
And in early September, the Wall Street Journal published an expose about the scandal, demonstrating that Facebook not only would harm young people with Instagram Kids, which was a new app, but that the company would do this knowingly.
Well, they're making money. Money's over with kids.
So in the report, headline, quote, Facebook knows Instagram is toxic for teen girls, company documents show, close quote. There's also been other studies, Terry, we've done on other shows. There's been an incredible increase in depression and suicide as it relates to young people as a result of social media, because it's all comparing themselves to another. It's all the sin of envy and jealousy. And I wish I had that. And look at, I graduated from high school with her, and she's got a nicer car. She's got a house now. Terry, all it is people that are putting their best foot forward.
Yep.
And it makes other people that don't feel that they can rate, it makes them jealous, it makes them envious, it leads them to depression and even suicide, especially when they start videoing each other and demeaning each other. It leads some of the weaker kids to commit suicide.
They start living vicariously rather than in reality.
It's a fake life.
It is a fake life, Jess. And more than 40% of Instagram users are 22 years old and younger, and about 22 million teens log on to Instagram in the U.S. each day, compared with 5 million teens logging into Facebook, when young users have been shrinking for a decade. This is, I pray that people would pick up their Bible that many times. There's another statistic about this little device right here, Jesse, our smartphone. The average American looks at their phone 122 times a day.
We should look at our Bible and prayer book.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, that's the benefit.
Yeah, Terry, and I'll tell you, just like you said, this is a fake world. This whole social media, it's a make-believe world.
It is.
And that's what the devil wants. The devil wants to bring people into just deception.
You nailed it.
Delusion, you deception. Again, some of these, Mark Zuckerberg, he's been brought up to the Hill to testify, this guy lies, Terry, right through his teeth.
All the money.
Yeah. Zuckerberg, he'll downplay the mentally damaging effects of social media, even though the data is in. This has been studied. And he was called to testify under oath at a congressional hearing in March of this year.
Yeah.
And CEO Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, he said this in an answer to a question about social media and children. He said this, quote, "The research that we've seen is that using social media apps to connect with other people can have positive mental health benefits." Terry, he lied. Okay? He lied. The fact is, there is one study after another that demonstrates that this leads to depression, despair, despondency, and even suicide because they live in a fake world. Everybody is lying or exaggerating to each other on these social medias. And so to me, Facebook should be called Pravda. Just be honest, Mark Zuckerberg. Call yourself Pravda, and I'll remind you. You know, he can lie with a poker face. It just comes natural to these guys. Why? Because they imitate their father, Satan, who tempts them to lie and rewards them financially in this life.
Make a suggestion. Live outside the city. City life has always been tough on the spiritual life. Put them out on a farm. Put them to work. And things get a lot better, Mom and Dad. When we come back, we're going to shift gears, talking about the deaths that are taking place, the injuries taking place from COVID-19. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
The only virus I'm afraid of is sin, specifically mortal sin.
Amen.
And the only vax that I'm going to take is the seven sacraments of the church, specifically the Holy Eucharist, which is the medicine of immortality.
Amen.
Terry, there's nearly 15,000 deaths.
Yeah, time out. Would you say that again? I mean, 15,000 deaths from what? From car accidents?
Nope. From the COVID vaccine.
What?
This is all from the VAERS report. This is where they, you know, the reporting of adverse events from COVID vaccines. So, nearly 15,000 deaths and more than 700,000 injuries reported to the VAERS. This is the where people report adverse effects from the COVID-19s. Since December 2020's rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines in the United States, it hasn't been that long. And we're already seeing, Terry, if this would have happened, if we would have had these type of results with any other vaccine at any other time in history, it would have been off the market forthwith. But this is purely political. This is not medical.
And Jesse, just a quick note. People like Hank Aaron, the home run hitter who died after he got his poke. The statistics will not be there for those who die 2 weeks after they took the poke. So in other words, let's say you died after you took the poke a week later, you're not in this batch. You see how they manipulate the numbers? This is, to me, tragic. And it's just like in so many other areas of life, we're not keeping good records. And like they say, 700,000 people now have died from COVID-19. When we know that about 6% of them died from COVID, the rest of them died with COVID. Do you see how they manipulate us? And I'm tired of that, Jess, but let's continue.
Well, Terry, they're using us as guinea pigs. You have to read this article. It has a lot of details. You can get lost in the weeds. I'll just grab some big phrases that have some good data. One of them is this one. Of the 6,756 U.S. deaths reported as of September 10th, here it is, 12% occurred within 24 hours of vaccination.
There you go.
17% occurred within 48 hours of vaccination, and 31% occurred in people who experienced an onset of symptoms within 48 hours of being vaccinated.
Yeah.
And again, this is not talking about the long-term effects, because there's going to be effects that are delayed.
Oh, yeah. Years from now, people will be dying and they're saying, hey, is that tied into their COVID-19? Well, why'd they take the shot anyway?
Yeah. Now here's this week's, it says this week's U.S. VAERS data from December 14th, 2020 to September 10th, 2021, for all age groups. Here's a couple of bullets. It says 20% of deaths were related to cardiac disorders. 54% of those who died were male, 42 were female. The average age of death was 72 years old. As of September 10th, 3,650 pregnant women reported adverse events related to COVID vaccines, including 1,076 reports of miscarriages or premature births. This is all by design, by the way. Of the 2,783 cases of Bell's palsy reported, 50% were attributed to Pfizer vaxes, 42% to Moderna, and 8% to J&J.
Yeah, these statistics.
Now, Terry, it's not fun having Bell's palsy.
No, are you kidding?
593 reports of Guillain-Barré syndrome, with 39% of those cases attributed to Pfizer, 33% to Moderna, and 27% to J&J. Get this one. 149,681 reports of anaphylaxis.
That's terrible too.
With 42% of cases attributed to Pfizer vaccines, 51 to Moderna, and 7 to J&J. Here's another one. And I know about this. 9,260 reports of blood clotting disorders. Of those, 3,968 were attributed to Pfizer, 3,376 to Moderna, and 1,866 to Johnson & Johnson. Last one, 2,452 cases of myocarditis and pericarditis, with 1,545 cases attributed to Pfizer, 806 to Moderna, and 93 cases to J&J's COVID vaccines. And Terry, I have no doubt that these numbers they've been massaged.
Okay.
So I would bet, Terry, that the numbers are about three or four times higher than this.
And here's an interesting point the article makes. The FDA panel overwhelmingly rejects Pfizer's boosters for healthy people 16 to 65. This was done on September 17th. A panel of scientific advisors to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, they voted a slam dunk, 16 to 2, against recommending a third shot of Pfizer's COVID vaccine for healthy people 16 and older, but voted unanimously in favor of recommending the booster shot for the immunocompromised of all people 65 or older. The vote came after a sharp debate in which many of the panel's independent experts, including infectious disease doctors, challenged whether the data justified a broad rollout of extra shots when the vaccine appears to still offer robust protection against several COVID-19 diseases and hospitalizations in the U.S. And just a quick note, Jesse, this just came in on my phone because it ties into what we're talking about. They're saying that COVID cases fall by 25%, fueling hope that the Delta has peaked. And I mean, again, Jesse, only out of 10 million people L.A. County, I mean, we're talking 23 people die. And we're going to shut everything down. There's something wrong. It's got to have there's got to be more to it than what is meeting the eye, because statistically, it makes no sense to do what we're doing. And there's got to be alternative motives, whether it's economic or political. And I believe they're both.
That's right. FDA officials, they said that they based their analysis of data. It was submitted to them by Pfizer and BioNTech. And they could not yet take a stance on whether to recommend COVID boosters for the general public. Of course not. Their boss is Fauci. So, of course, you know, a lot of these doctors, they have conflicted conscience. It's called cognitive dissonance. When you know something is right, but you have pressure to do something else that you know is wrong, that goes against what you know is right. Mm-hmm. A lot of people right now that are working for the government or under Biden, they're having cognitive dissonance, this conflict in their mind. A lot of them are just caving in. They're saying, well, I need to keep my job. So I'm just going to suppress what I know to be right, suppress my conscience, and just proceed with what daddy government wants us to do. Let's take a look at some real cases. Let's put some flesh into this to show you how serious this is.
Yeah.
Okay. 16-year-old Sarah Green.
Oh, no, this is terrible.
Wants her life back after developing neurological problems following the Pfizer vaccine. Sarah Green, healthy 16-year-old, until recently, she developed neurological problems after receiving the second dose of Pfizer's COVID vaccine. And in an exclusive interview with Defender, Sarah and her mother, Mary Green, said they feel helpless because nobody will acknowledge Sarah's vaccine injury and nobody can help them. Or should I say nobody wants to help them? Sarah received her second dose of Pfizer on May 4th and immediately began experiencing headaches. She then developed facial twitches and tremors. She's lost the ability to write, cannot drive, had to drop out of two college classes, and her mother said. Sarah has seen numerous doctors who refuse, of course, they're not going to go against daddy government. Yeah. They refuse to acknowledge the vaccine caused her condition. One doctor said, Sarah throw out these terms and say, yeah, get out of here. You got this. She has functional movement disorder and it was not related to the vaccine. Although she said she has seen more cases since COVID vaccines were approved because people, quote, stress themselves out over the vaccine and it's psychosomatic. Hey girl, this is just in your mind.
Give me a break.
So Mary Green and Sarah, the daughter, they said that we're not anti-vaxxers, but there are too many people having problems for them not to know there's a problem with the mRNA vaccines. Terry, there's a lot of cases here. We won't have time to get.
Yeah, they're all there.
It's worth reading.
Risk benefit again. And we talked about Dr. French. Scott French was on last Friday here. He'll be coming back this Friday, a week, I should say 8 days from now, to speak at our chapel on the Blessed Sacrament. He's an on-fire Catholic doctor, but you can check with him by coming to our conference at 7 p.m. on the 8th of October. He'll be here. The guy's high-information Catholic doctor and an on-fire Catholic. Jesse, these statistics here are appalling to have to listen to. These are individual lives. Can you imagine mom and dad, how they feel with their son or daughter? Can you imagine 10 years ago, your son wrestling, and you got to have this shot, and they give him a shot, and he's an invalid. What? The rest of his life. That's what's happening right now.
Terry, experts that are not tied into the government are accusing the CDC, that's also under, you know, Fauci's overseas that also.
Domain.
They're cherry-picking the data on natural immunity because there's a growing body of literature that shows natural immunity not only confers robust, durable, and high-level protection against COVID, like I have now, I feel like Superman, but also provides better protection than vaccine-induced immunity.
Well said.
Yet the CDC's ignoring the science of natural immunity, which Terry and me have when it comes to COVID, while acknowledging it for other diseases, said Dr. Marty Makara, professor of surgery and health at Johns Hopkins University. So, Terry, here's the hypocrites. They say, oh, yeah, natural immunity for other things, absolutely. But for COVID, no, we don't recognize that.
Listen, up next, Dr. Sandoval. Jesse's the one who brought Dr. Sandoval to us. You won't want to miss his show. He's a therapist, but not only that, he's a doctor. He's a physician. and he's also high in information on spiritual warfare. This guy...
And on theology, he was going to be a priest.
Yeah, for many years. So you want to take him. If you can't get it on your station you're listening to, go to vmpr.org and download our free app so that you can listen to all the shows here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Yes, the bottom line is this. What state should we be living in?
Live in a state of grace and run to that vaccination called the Holy Eucharist, the medicine of immortality, and stay away from the virus of sin.
If only we had that attitude in our church. I'll tell you why. We need to turn back to Jesus Christ and go back with vigor and turn away from worldly desires. That's the Bible. That's the gospel. Return to Christ. God love you and your family.